Will you now turn with me in God's Word to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 16? Luke chapter 16 and reading from verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Well, may God bless to our hearts that reading from his word. Will you turn with me to the word of God once again, and this time, Revelation in chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and reading from verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Over the last few months on Sunday mornings, we've been looking at various delusions that these hearts of ours that are deceitful and desperately wicked can be deceived by, deceived with. The one we come to this morning is one of the saddest, because it is possible for an individual professing Christian, it's possible for a church of professing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the delusion that they are spiritually rich, that all is well with them spiritually, that they want for nothing spiritually, that they have a lot spiritually, when the all-knowing Christ says to them, in fact, you're poor, you're miserable, you're wretched, I'm disgusted with you, and you're blind to the way that you really are. And such was the awful case of the professing church at Laodicea. They were deluded. They thought they were spiritually rich. And Christ says, you're not, and I am disgusted with you. Because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, Laodicea was an extremely wealthy place. It was famous for its wealth. It was situated where three major roads met, and it grew up into a very rich commercial centre. It was famous for being a financial centre. It was famous for being a clothing production centre. It also was well known for its lukewarm, tepid, lime water springs that lay close at hand. And most of the inhabitants of this city were well off. They were comfortable. They had a lot by the standards of those days. They were pretty well off materially speaking. They had a high standard of living. And it is often the case, the person who is materially well off and comfortable feels they need nothing. Nothing. They have money, they have material things, they can have and do most of the things they want to do. They would like perhaps a bit more money so they could do a few more things and have a few more material things. But by and large, those who are well off feel comfortable. Their needs can be met. They're satisfied. We don't need anything. And especially, we don't need God. We don't need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need the word of God. There's no question about it. If you've ever done door-to-door visitation in several different types of areas, you can see the difference when you go on the doors where people are materially well off and comfortable. One of the poorest places I've ever visited was the Gorbals in Glasgow, and I got the best reception I've ever had on door-to-door visitation there. But when you go to somewhere, and it's quite a comfortable area, and increasingly there are these areas in our country, people are by and large better and better off. And you visit on the doorstep, though they don't actually say it in words, really the answer you receive at the door is, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. I'm not interested. I don't need what you are coming to tell me about. I'm satisfied, I'm content, I have got all I want. Well, a non-Christian who is reasonably well off and comfortable, as I've said, That's increasing in its numbers throughout this land every decade. They can have everything. They don't think they need anything, but perhaps a bit more money, so they may be able to buy and do more things. Christ would say to them, in reality, spiritually, you're poor. You may have many of these world's goods, but spiritually, you're poor. You don't have the riches that you really need, and you don't have riches that last. You're poor. And though you mayn't realize it, you're in a miserable, wretched condition. We read about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, while he lived, was wealthy, comfortable. He had all he could want. He didn't need anything. He certainly didn't need God. He didn't need God's Son sent to be a Savior. He had all he wanted. And he dies. And also a poor man named Lazarus dies, who, from the account given, seems to have known God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this rich man, suddenly, when he died, he saw how poor he was. He always thought he was rich. The moment he died, he saw he was poor, poverty-stricken spiritually. He had nothing. And he saw how blind he'd been, and what a miserable, wretched condition he finds himself in. He says, I'll give anything to change places with a man who was materially poor in this life, but was spiritually rich through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There he was in hell, and he realizes the attitude he'd had all his life was wrong. I need nothing. I don't need God. I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. And he realizes he was wrong, and it was too late. If in life he had come to Christ for salvation, Christ says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and white raiment, and so on. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And so he continues. If in life he had come to Christ, he had repented and believed on Christ, he would have been spiritually rich in this life, and he would have been eternally rich spiritually. But he didn't. He was blind to his condition. Remember another man Jesus tells us of, a rich farmer. And he's very comfortable, very successful. He's had a bumper harvest. And he says, I've got all I could want for many years. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Basically, I don't need anything now. I've got all the wealth I could want, and I can eat and drink and be merry. And God says to this man, thou fool. God says to him, you're a fool. You're blind to how spiritually poor you really are. You're blind to how miserable and wretched your life really is. God says, tonight your soul will be required of you. You're going to die. And all your riches won't be able to help you. And they'll all be taken from you. You see, there's nobody so blind and so miserable and so wretched as the person who proudly and comfortably and self-complacently says, well, I've got most of the things I would want from this life. I'm in need of nothing, especially the Lord Jesus Christ. When all of the time, in reality, they're without God, they're without God's Son, the only Savior. They're without hope of heaven. All of the time, they haven't got the needs of their souls met nor satisfied. And all of the time, everything they're living for is going to be taken from them or them from it. How sad. It's a tragedy that somebody could be materially rich and yet spiritually poor. Is that you? Is that you this morning? Would you say, I'm in need of nothing? What a proud person you are. I'm in need of nothing, and certainly I'm not in any need of the gospel that you preach. I've got all I want. Anything more I want doesn't include God. It doesn't include the Lord Jesus Christ. How blind you really are to the condition you're in. How miserable and wretched your life really is. And one day you'll recognize that. But like those two men in the Gospels, it'll be too late. It's now you need to come to Christ, he says. I counsel thee to buy of me. To come to me. It's right now you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to open the door. And he will save you. He will make you spiritually rich. Pardon your sins. Forgive your sins. You'll be made a child of God. You'll be indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. You'll be assured of a place in God's heaven. You'll be kept by God throughout your life. God will overrule all that happens to you for your good. He will care for you. You'll be rich than a millionaire, as the chorus goes. However, you know, this message wasn't directed to the rich non-Christians in Laodicea. This message in Revelation chapter 3 is directed to the church, the professing Christians who lived in Laodicea. Now, they probably were very well off, materially speaking. They were better off than most Christians were in those days. They had a lot more, and that may have been the problem. Because it's not impossible, but it does need particular grace from God to be very well off and to maintain your spiritual zeal and vigor. It's not impossible, but it can be a lot harder. There are many temptations if you're very well off, materially wise. Many a Christian has found throughout their lives, sadly, it's happened, as their material prosperity and comfort has gone up, their spiritual health and vigor has gone down. It needs watchfulness, prayerfulness, and God's grace to use that improvement in one's material conditions for the glory of God and to realize at the end of the day, these things have only been given me by God to be used for God and for his glory. Now, the professing Christians in Laodicea, we see here, were deluded. They thought they were spiritually rich. We're doing well. We're being blessed of God. Spiritually, we've got all that we could want. And an all-knowing Christ says to these professing Christians, you think spiritually you're rich, and I've got to tell you, in actual fact, you're poor, you're miserable, and you're wretched. The spiritual condition you're in that you're satisfied with, Christ says, you shouldn't be. It's not what you think it is, and it's not what you say it is. Christ says, it doesn't matter you think you're spiritually rich and you say you're spiritually rich. I have got to tell you, you're spiritually poor and miserable and wretched, and what's more, I am disgusted with you. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He says, how can you imagine? How can you think? How can you be deluded into feeling you're spiritually rich when I am so disgusted with you? What a terrible delusion. And it's common. We shouldn't imagine this particular church in Laodicea was an exception. Many Christians, many churches can imagine they're spiritually rich when that's far from the case. You see, if you're spiritually rich, I can tell you this. There's one thing that will be true about you. You will have a deep sorrow for your sins as a Christian. And if you're spiritually rich also, you'll love the Word of God. You'll give attention to the Word of God, and you'll seek to live your life in obedience to it. You'll seek to be holy. If you're spiritually rich, you'll love to worship God your Saviour with God's people in God's house. If you're spiritually rich, you'll love to alone and with the people of God pray. If you're spiritually rich, you'll be the sort of person that wants to be an honour and a testimony to Christ before an unbelieving world. If you're spiritually rich, you'll sacrifice your time and your finance for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, the point is, many people imagine they're spiritually rich and one or more of those things isn't true of them. And they're blind. Blind to the spiritual poverty of their real condition. Isn't it sad to have an opinion of our spiritual life that is so far short of what it really is? They say, we're spiritually rich, and Christ says, you're poor, you're miserable, and you're wretched. Sometimes believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of gifts that they have, imagine that they are spiritually rich. Well, they say nothing about a person's spiritual condition. Nothing at all. Why, even in Matthew chapter 7, we have people who perform gifts in Christ's name who go to hell. So it says nothing about a person's spiritual condition. If a person is lukewarm, all their gifts mean nothing. The fact is, they are spiritually poor and miserable and wretched. Sometimes Christians imagine, because of the spiritual experiences they've had, they are spiritually rich. But that says nothing about their condition. If you're lukewarm, despite all the experiences you've had, the fact is, right now, you're spiritually poor and miserable and wretched. Some Christians imagine, because of the knowledge they have of the Word of God, they are spiritually rich. I know a lot more than most Christians. But if you're lukewarm, all the knowledge of the Word of God means nothing. You're spiritually poor and miserable and wretched. These Laodiceans felt they were spiritually rich, well off spiritually, doing well spiritually. But no matter their gifts, their experiences, their knowledge, their lukewarmness showed in reality they were spiritually poor and miserable and wretched. And Christ really says in verses 15 and 16, I am disgusted with you. You're neither cold nor hot. They weren't cold. They weren't amongst those who professed no love for God, no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they weren't hot. They weren't zealous, sincere followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those who make no profession of faith in Christ, you don't expect anything from them, but they'll be cold. They're not going to be zealous and on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. You wouldn't expect that. But the professing Christian, the person that says, I've trusted in Christ, I love Christ, I'm following Christ, in them, you would expect to find zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not lukewarmness, not indifference, as was found in these Christians in Laodicea. Christ says, I would rather that you were cold or hot than lukewarm. Now, of course, you would rather that we were hot. On fire for him. Sincere, zealous in our following of him. But if a person isn't, better they're cold. Better they make no profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ at all than to say, I love him, I follow him, and be lukewarm. To be indifferent to him, apathetic toward him, half-hearted toward him, unaffected by all the claims of Christ upon those he saves. These Laodiceans knew only too well that those lukewarm springs nearby, if you took a drink from those springs, it would turn your stomach. You'd be sick. And Christ says to them, that's the effect your lukewarmness has upon me. That's the effect. Lukewarmness in the heart and life of the professing Christian has upon the Lord of the church. How, after all Christ has done, is doing, and will do for the Christian, can I be half-hearted, indifferent, apathetic towards him? the faithful and true witness says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I can't bear you being like this. You're not spiritually rich. He says, you're spiritually poor and miserable and wretched. And it doesn't matter what gifts we have got, what experiences we've had, what knowledge of the Word of God we possess. If we're lukewarm, we're not spiritually rich. We really aren't, and we're in a spiritually miserable, wretched condition. If you're indifferent to the commands of Christ about the way you're to live and behave in your personal life, and as a Christian parent or husband or wife or child, or as a Christian employer or employee, I've got to tell you that you're not spiritually rich. And I'm not really interested in what you've got to say, because Christ says you're not. Christ says you're not. You're poor and you're miserable and you're wretched. If you're lukewarm to all Christ tells us in his word about not loving the world and being separated from the world, and in fact you compromise, you're unwilling to be separated from this world's aims and principles and practices, you're not spiritually rich, no matter what you say, no matter what you think. If you're lukewarm, half-hearted, indifferent to gathering with the Lord's people to worship him on his day, to pray with the Lord's people, you're not spiritually rich. How can you be? How can anyone ever be indifferent to the presence of Christ and be rich? It's impossible. Christ says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, Christ is in all places. He's with all his people and to the end of the world as they serve him. But he has particularly promised, in a special way, in an unusual way, to be in the midst of his people when they gather together in his name. I will be there on the Lord's day, with all the weakness of the preacher and the person leading the service and everything else. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I will be. When they gather to pray during the week, there I will be. And to not be there when we could be, I mean, if we're sick, we can't. If we're working, we can't. But to not be there when we could be, the reality is we're indifferent to the presence of Christ. He was there and you weren't. And you really weren't bothered that he was there and you weren't. How can you imagine that you're spiritually rich? How can anybody who's indifferent to Christ's presence ever really expect to do anything of any value in his service? They can't. If you can't sit on a seat, you're not fit for anything. Not fit for anything. If you're lukewarm, if you're indifferent to Christ's commands regarding the giving up of time and of finance to him, you're not spiritually rich. Do we imagine that our lives and all the time that we've got and all the material things that we have are just mine to do with them whatever I want and for my own self-pleasure? Or do you suppose, as a Christian, the time that you're given and the material things that you're given are to be used for the honour and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Of course they are. And if we're unwilling to systematically and cheerfully and sacrificially give of our substance or our time to the Lord, we're not spiritually rich, no matter what we say or think. We could go on and on. Are you lukewarm, indifferent about working for the salvation of people's souls? Are you indifferent to cleaning God's house and repairing God's house? I mean, are you? Are you not bothered, unconcerned? Christ says, of all lukewarmness, in whatever ways it's found, it means spiritually you're poor and you're miserable and you're wretched. How sad to think we're a spiritually rich, well-off Christian, And all the time Christ says, you're nothing of the sort. And you don't see how disgusted I am with you for your lukewarmness. However, Christ doesn't rebuke these Christians in Laodicea for no reason. He doesn't show them that they're deluded in what they imagine they are as Christians, spiritually rich when they're not. He tells them this so they'll put things right. So that they'll see that all they need is found in him. I counsel thee, buy of me, he says. He tells them this, he says, so they'll be zealous and repent. That they'll be earnest and they'll lose no time in repenting of their lukewarmness, their indifference, their apathy, in whatever areas, whatever ways it's found in their hearts and lives as Christians. And as they do so, Christ says, you'll find you're received back into my favor and close fellowship with me. He takes the initiative. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, he says. I knock, I call, and if anyone opens the door, if they repent, turn from the lukewarm way they've been living, he says, I will enter in. And close, intimate fellowship with me will be restored. And you really will be what you think you are and not. You'll then be spiritually rich. You really will. And notice he addresses the church, but he says, if any man, or that could be any woman in the church. In other words, Christ says, if as a church as a whole, you take no notice of what I'm telling you, that you're not spiritually rich like you think you are, but poor, miserable, and wretched. If as a whole you take no notice, will any individual amongst you, you repent of your lukewarmness, you turn from your apathy and indifference, and I will come to you. So it doesn't matter what everyone else does. The important thing is that you make sure that you repent of all lukewarmness in your heart and in your life. It ought not to be there. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all. What a terrible return for that is lukewarmness. Repent of it. If you've been apathetic and indifferent to what Christ tells you in some area of your personal behavior, or as a Christian mother or father, husband or wife or child, if at the workplace you're not really working as you should as a Christian, repent of it. Turn from it. You can't be indifferent and apathetic toward what Christ tells you. If as a Christian you find that really the aims and the pleasures and the principles of this world have almost engulfed you, you need to repent of that lukewarmness. Turn from it. And realize Christ expects you to be separated from this world. And to love not the world or the things of the world. If as a Christian, you find that you're often lukewarm, indifferent about meeting with the Lord's people. Whenever they've set apart time to meet together. Repent of it. Turn from it. If you find as a Christian Christ's requirement of you concerning your money, your time, you have been indifferent to that and you've acted as if it's really all yours to do what you want with it, repent of it. And if you do, Christ says, I will come in to you. I will. And sup with you and you with me. You really will be spiritually rich. But if you stay as you are, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What a contrast. Spew thee out of thy mouth with come into him and sup with him and he with me. And that's the difference between lukewarmness and repenting and turning from it. And if we don't turn from lukewarmness in our lives as professing Christians, it doesn't matter what we say. So often as Christians, we're quite content that I say something and therefore everyone should accept it. I'm doing well spiritually. I'm well off spiritually. I'm a fine Christian spiritually. It doesn't mean a thing. One's very life shows whether or not that is true. And if we are lukewarm, Christ says, you're not as spiritually rich as you imagine you are. He says, in reality, you're spiritually poor and you're miserable and you're wretched. And you need to repent and turn from that condition, and you need to do it straight away. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. It's not something for next week or next month. It's something for today. That love that Christ has shown in dying on the cross and saving you, a sinner Christian, should be responded to by presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, it's little wonder the church makes little impact on an unbelieving world today. Amen.